Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Yes, 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 yes. Hello, welcome to yet another wonderfully toe-curling edition of the Confessions Podcast, brought to you by your friends at Greatest Hits Radio. This is the place where mischief meets mayhem and poor life choices are paraded before you for your judgment. Sister Susie is in the pub.
I am indeed.
Oh, no, she's not. She's actually in the studio with us. What's going on?
Amazing.
Very good. Brother Matthew is speaking on behalf of the gutter.
Correct. Yes, here I am.
And young sister Holly is there in charge of the tat.
I am indeed, yes.
And speaking through infection and illness.
Yes, it's a slight rasp, but we're there.
Yes, but you can make a fortune on voiceovers. That's the truth of it. Mm-hmm. We're going to be catching up with your correspondence on the parish notice board, including reviews, correspondence included in the not-for-broadcast Mark Knopfler section. And of course, you'll hear this week's crop of confessions from the Drive Time Show 4 till 7 on Greatest Hits Radio, which include there's another confession from a vicar, this time involving lying about a cake in love's hot, fevered iron. Professor Perilous sends a confession all about his teacher tales in Sonic Boom Boy. Also, Dave's confession, The Horse with No Name. But first, to Matt's delight, we're heading to an eco house with compostable toilets and homemade wine. For Tom's confession, it ain't easy being green.
Simon Mayo's confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
First of the week from Tom. Thank you, Tom, Father Simon and the Confessional Collective. There's some dodgy behaviour in here. It's a little bit sordid.
Sordid?
I think so.
Sordid.
I need to finally confess something that happened over 20 years ago. Back in February 2001... I was nursing a bruised and battered heart. I'd flown to Spain to try and rekindle a relationship with a Finnish girl who split up with me whilst Love is a Roller Coaster by Ronan Keating was playing on the radio.
Oh, no.
I've hated that song ever since. And Ronan, to be honest.
Oh.
Sorry, aww. Ronan. Not his fault.
No.
I never got the chance to meet her again, and brokenhearted, I went to stay with my friend Wendy, who lives in the... I'm just going to check this with Matt. Aljaraz.
No. Right. Al, go
near,
on.
Near Granada in Andalusia.
Yes. Okay, well, let's go with that then.
Alpujarras. There. Yes. One night, she drove us to a party a few hours away. Well, since the party was so far from her house, we were staying with some of her friends who lived in a small hamlet that had been abandoned by the locals but taken over by hippies and other eco-minded people.
Right. Yeah. They're running water then.
The party was at another eco-commune in the countryside in Almería province.
Fabulous.
And most of the people there obviously knew each other very well. It's fair to say they were pretty fanatical about their eco-credentials. It's not that I disagreed with them on climate change or being vegan, but the party guests were a bit crusty, shall we say, a bit unforgiving of anyone who didn't have the same beliefs as they did. I also probably wasn't the best company. I was feeling very sorry for myself, what with that Finnish woman, and I felt pretty miserable at being dumped, and it was Ronan Keating's fault. Anyway, they weren't exactly welcoming. The first mistake I made was to mention that I wasn't vegetarian when I jokingly said that the bean stew could do with a bit of beef being in it. Half the guests stopped talking to me then. The second mistake was to explain that I had flown to Spain and not driven or got the train. One woman actually turned her back on me, muttering something unrepeatable about how I was killing the planet. So there was nothing left to do except sit by the fire, stare at the beautiful stars and drink lots of very rough wine and drown my sorrows, always drinking responsibly. I have no idea what time we drove back to her friend's house, but it was late and I was rather the worse for wear. Wendy hadn't been drinking as she was driving, and within minutes I fell into a deep sleep. What I didn't know until after is that poor Wendy had to drive home on a very cold night with the window open as I was snoring in the old sense of the word and trumping all the way home because of the bean stew. When we got to our friend's eco house, I had sobered up a bit. and her friend showed us our room and then explained the toilet in the bathroom. As it was on the eco farm, there was a compost toilet. I remember hearing something about a sit-down loo for one thing and then there was a blue bucket for the other thing.
Okay.
I got into the bathroom and there was a large blue barrel by the door with a small footstool near it, and I lifted the lid of the barrel. It smelled a little bit dodgy, but it was also nearly full to the brim. It seemed a bit weird to have such a large barrel to wee in, but anyway, if you're bursting, you're bursting. So I took the lid off, I stood on the footstool and did what I had to do. I then put the lid back on and went to bed. The next day, I had the most raging hangover, obviously, not helped by Wendy complaining about how she'd had to drive home in the cold because of my drunken antics. In the daylight, the freeholding where Wendy's friends lived was lovely. They showed us around and explained how they recycled the compost loo. Oh, and we make our own wine as well, she said.
Oh, no.
Would you like to try some? Now, I was still feeling a little worse for wear and couldn't face another drink, but she insisted we try. It's almost ready, she carried on. In fact, you saw it already. It's in the bathroom. The huge blue barrel by the door. I had an awful feeling in my stomach that had nothing to do with the hangover. What I hadn't seen in my state was that there was a small blue bucket next to the toilet, and obviously this was not the same as the massive barrel next to the door. I came back and made my excuses for not having any wine. Wendy was driving, so she didn't have any either, but there was no way I could say anything. A year or so later, I actually met the wine-producing couple again at another party. They talked about their vintage year of homemade wine and how good it was and how I had clearly missed out. Well, Father Simon, I'd like to beg your forgiveness, not for watering down the wine, because frankly, I think I probably improved it no end. I do not wish to apologise for flying to Spain or eating meat, though we should all be wary of things like that. I would like to beg forgiveness from Wendy, who had to drive home in the middle of the night in the freezing cold whilst I snored and burped and created my own greenhouse gases. Oh, it's an awful thing to do to a friend, and I am truly repentant. I think we've noticed that actually she also drove all the time. You seem to do no driving at all. She just drove all the time. I'm not quite sure about your personality or your character, Tom. But anyway, this will be judged by Sister Susie right now. Here we go.
Yeah, Tom, I'm not sure how sorry he is, really. And, like, I almost forgave just for the hippie Hamlet and how much Matt wouldn't like to be there.
Matt
which I thought
would
be quite funny. And the compost toilet and all of that. But, you know, use your brain. Like, that you're not going to have a huge barrel that you're going to have to stand on a step to pee in, are you? That's just, like, maybe you should have asked and been like, is this really where I need to do a number one? And then the answer would be no. And yeah, no, I can't believe that you made people drink that. No, not forgiven, Tom. Disgusting.
I feel worse now that Susie's been so condemnatory. But what do you say, Brother Matthew?
I'm going to forgive. Who keeps the homemade wine in the loo? That seems a little bit like it's asking for trouble,
it
really.
Does,
I don't think that's such a good idea. Also, not a massive fan of bean stew, or indeed lots of people having a go at me because I once got on a plane, or eco-communes, or any of that. I do agree that he should have shared the driving, but and also, it wasn't his fault, was it? All of the things going on in the car, it was all down to the beef stew again. Bean stew. We'd been better with beef stew. We had no problems. So for those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
So if there'd been beef in the stew, it would work against the beans, or?
I think, yes. I think...
What do you base
well,
that
we don't,
on?
We basically don't know, do we? We don't know. Until we run the story with beef stew involved, then we will never know. But my instinct is we'd have been okay. Yes.
But beans do what beans do. They have the effect, whether you've added beef or not, it doesn't make any difference.
No, beef famously counteracts the beans.
It's just, okay, so. Making stuff up. Tom's confession led to a rather amusing reaction on the People's Verdict. I had an interesting name for Matt.
And Michelle in Belfast says, forgiven, why on earth was there a barrel of wine in the toilet? That seems both gross and unhygienic. I'm with the bloke. That's me, Michelle, thanks. It sounds confusing to me.
Just the bloke.
The bloke.
Sports bloke.
The sports bloke. It's him, look.
Yeah.
So before we dive back into the murky waters of this week's confessions, it's time to gather around the parish notice board, our chance to catch up on the latest goings-on in our little community, if that's indeed what we are. So if you have something to say, be it praise, feedback, or just praise, Just get in touch. Let's see what's pinned to our board this week. Matt, what are you looking at?
Yes, as ever, I am only going to be perusing the 5-star reviews, anything less than that, and I am not interested. So Nick says, 5 stars. So glad you're back. Loving the podcast. Highlight of the weekend listening to these. Love the end of year special and the slip into the grave. Not a slip. Matt for Prime Minister, President or Supreme Leader. So says Nick. I'm going to take that one home with me and read it to my wife.
Sam will have an accident.
She will not be happy with that. Sam the Man 590 says 5 stars. Having been an avid listener when you were on the dark side, I'm so glad you have the weekly podcast now. I listen every week when out running and can only imagine what bemused motorists think as I go past with a grin on my face. Please keep up the good work as it makes exercise more bearable. Thanks for that, Sam the Man. And, oh, my goodness, the hashtag ampersand colon.
There's a percentage hashtag.
Speech mark apostrophe J.
J.
Who is basically just doing this to wind me up. Yep. Says, fabulous, 5 stars. I listen every Saturday. My son and his partner listen too. I love it. Brilliantly funny.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think that was okay. And if you'd like Matt to keep shouting out all your reviews, then leave a review right now. But please have a proper name. Don't have numbers after the name.
No,
please
for that.
No.
We don't
funny
really
name.
Just want commas, full stops.
No. Well, no
dashes.
Punctuation for anyone under the age of 30. Apparently they can't deal with punctuation.
No, it's just full
not.
Stops. It's just full stops. It's a little bit aggressive.
We had a lecture from Holly about how a full stop
believable
can be aggressive.
Now all of my texts will contain full stop. And the word full stop. I will put the word full stop and a full stop in all my texts.
And then I don't think it's extra aggressive.
There is... It's when you work with... youngsters, you learn a lot
you
about life.
Oh, we are learning. Open to learning.
Now, there's also notice here with a little update from a previous confessor who says, hi, Simon and team. I'm not sure if you like updates from confessors to the show, but somehow I feel compelled to do so. Since the pod, it's come to light that Auntie Antonia's neighbours, drunk Russian geese story,
oh, yes,
were, of course, her parents and not her neighbours. I've also been informed that they would never have eaten the geese, but just used their feathers for pillows.
The geese were her parents?
No, the geese weren't
the geese
her parents.
Belonged to her.
Was it a metaphor?
No.
The geese
what?
Were her parents.
No.
She said that.
Wow.
She said the geese were
no.
her parents.
Wait, the geese
oh,
confessed?
Dear.
Wow, this is plot twist.
Okay.
I think it's something else.
No.
She said the geese were her
no,
parents.
No, yeah. She didn't.
No.
She said
right.
the neighbour. It was credited. The story was credited to her neighbours, but the neighbours were her parents.
The neighbours were her parents.
Yes.
There were
so
no
who
neighbors.
Were the geese?
The geese were the geese. Mm. They weren't going to kill the geese. They just geese? Plucked their feathers, which is not very nice. Mm. Anyway, it's like the Muppet Christmas Carol all yep. over again. Yep. Thank you very much for your smart speaker, says Darren. Mm. If you just. I have a feeling that's just confused.
It has, because, yeah. well, you initially said that the geese were her parents.
I did not.
And I wondered how that made sense, and
it
then
says,
you said the neighbours were her
it's
parents.
It's come to light that
there's
Auntie Antonia's neighbours
were her
drunk
geese.
Russian geese story
yes.
were, of course, her parents
were her
and
parents.
Not her neighbours.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Right, OK.
So
actually,
look
that was
at actually, the punctuation.
Punctuation. Punctuation, Holly! See? How could that could have helped us out, couldn't it?
If there was some exclamation marks, that really would have sorted it.
Semicolon.
Anyway, wow. This is really, really good stuff.
Thanks.
Great content. This.
Is a full stop less aggressive than a semicolon?
Hmm.
Interesting. Let us know what you think.
Susie,
what have you spotted? Question mark.
I've spotted an email from Freddie! Exclamation mark. Who says, dear Father Simon, Brother Matt, and the generous sisters Susie and Holly, I appear to have run into a bit of a pickle at some point soon, most likely near the end of January. Which it is. It's my father's 50th birthday and my mother is berating me to find him a birthday present. Then the idea hit me that as we all, my mum, dad, 2 younger siblings and myself, love listening to our fellow citizens confessing their deepest, darkest sins and how apparently a lot of them involve laxatives, which are unfortunately can't be aired on the radio. Uh-huh. One, our most recent favourite confession with me and my younger brother being how the walkie-talkie fell into the portaloo.
That was good.
Yes. Yeah.
It was a good one, yeah.
Therefore, I throw myself at the mercy of all of you and ask for a birthday shout out to the one and only Stevie G.
Oh, yes.
To the ever so generous sister Holly, guardian of the tat cupboard, my dad would love a confession mug to go with his morning cuppa. Many thanks, Freddie, aged 15.
Full stop. Okay.
Full stop.
Now, even though it's got a full stop, would you accept this as a decent request?
I will. I think Freddie is a very eloquent young man.
Yes.
And so I will absolutely accept that request. Will it be there by the end of January? No. as that's today, because the podcast is out. So it won't be there end of January, but it will be there in the next few weeks. So you can give it to him then.
Freddie, thanks for getting in touch. Keep your additions to the Parish Notice Board coming in to confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. A couple of mentions too. LJM, Elidge, or possibly Eli J. Wallace, Mark Tomes, Matt Cherry and Bill Pickard, who were amongst those who got in touch with the secret code phrase last week, which was, of course, skimming the underbelly. Matt will soon have a new secret code phrase, which he'll bring you at the end of this podcast, which you can then use and get in touch to get to win a mention.
Yes, win
a mention.
Yeah.
Money can't buy that kind of prize. Now we come to the not-for-broadcast section, the part of the podcast where we delve into the confessions that were simply too outrageous, scandalous or illegal to put on the radio at tea time. Starting with Lorraine. Lorraine, your confession was a petty act of revenge against a disliked colleague who was given many unkind nicknames, one especially that, like much of your confession, is definitely not suitable for broadcast. Let's just say it involves a weapon and the market leaves that can also be slang for something else.
A weapon and the market leaves?
Yeah.
What's a market leaf?
A market leaf? The market leaves.
What's the market leaves? The market leaves. Once again, Holly, punctuation there. Could have helped us out, couldn't it?
Yeah.
And it didn't. The market leaves makes no sense. But the market leaves, that makes sense.
Now, the colleague in question doesn't sound very nice with her colourful language and promotion. The dubious circumstance. I'm not surprised that it led to workplace tensions and resignations, but that doesn't make it okay. That when you return to the workplace, upon discovering the ex-colleague's gaudy restroom makeover, you deliberately dropped her expensive makeup bag into the toilet and then used her toothbrush to clean the bowl.
Ooh! That's not on.
That behaviour plus the names equals the top of the not-for-broadcast pile. There are many, many confessions over the years which all involve toothbrushes and all doing the same thing and then popping the toothbrush back and then someone uses it without knowing what it's been used, cleaned, and it's just not good enough and it has to stop now.
Society.
Yes.
It all has to stop.
Also, Nora. The morning after a heavy night out with the gals probably wasn't the best time to go coat shopping with your mother-in-law, was it? While trying on a very expensive coat, you got a wave of wobbliness you could not keep inside. Your only option was to empty the wave into the pocket of the expensive coat, leaving it in the changing room and to make a swift exit.
Oh,
this is not okay, Nora. This is...
this is so bad.
This is vandalism.
It's
this is destruction of property.
It is,
at least buy the coat, right?
I'm not buying that. It's got all the stuff in it.
No, but if you
I
pocket.
I wouldn't buy the coat.
Bit of D&V in the coat pocket.
No. Oh my God.
D&V.
I'm sorry, this makes it your... This is your coat.
Just V. No D.
Anyway, despicable. Yeah, well, you know, quite entertaining.
Yeah.
Now, I think that's quite enough of that kind of filth. Time to leave the broadcastability chaos behind and return to the confession that did make the cut, starting with Pastor Timothy's cake catastrophe. Love's hot, fevered iron.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Thank you, Timothy, for dear Father Simon and the pardoning pundits. As a vicar in the Church of England, immediately people sit up and...
Yes, they do.
There are probably a few confessions I could relate, but as I don't want to invoke the wrath of the bishop, I want to tell you this story, but just to be safe, I have changed the names of the couple in the story. The story begins a few years ago as we were coming out of lockdown. We were allowed to hold church services again, and I could also start visiting people at home who couldn't get to church and then take communion. There was one couple, Fred and Wilma, who lived in a small cottage just up the hill from my church. And while they occasionally made it to church, more often than not, they requested that I go to them and bring them the required bread and wine. I was happy to oblige, as amongst all my parishioners, they were relatively easygoing and pleasant to talk to.
Okay.
As opposed to all the others.
Right.
This isn't the same vicar who pushed the woman in the grave,
him.
By the way.
No. Right.
I would usually visit around once a month. The visits would always follow the same pattern. Fred would let me in and Wilma would be seated on the sofa, ready to tell me about her latest medical ailment. I would unpack my home communion kit and the short service would happen without a hitch. Then Wilma would make a cup of tea and feed me a slice of homemade cake and we would have some pleasant chit-chat. After an hour or so, I would make my excuses and head off. Initially, I didn't quite realise my mistake during these visits. When I was handed my slice of homemade cake, I took a bite and made the polite, appropriate, appreciative noises. Mmm, that's so lovely. Thank you so much. I think I sounded sincere because the cake was absolutely terrible. I mean, really, really bad. It was more suited to being a doorstop than a cake. It was dry, bland and tasteless. But I couldn't say that, of course. I'm the vicar. Wilma looked pleased that I had enjoyed her cake, so I kept up the pretense. On my next visit, though, as I stood up to leave, Wilma also stood up with a proud look on her face, handed me a whole cake in a plastic tub. I've made you this, she said with a smile. I had to look pleased, even though I knew it would be the same substandard quality that all her baking efforts had been and would weigh a ton. So I made all of the right noises and departed with an entire cake. Once at home, the cake sat in the kitchen uneaten for several days. Even my teenage son refused to eat it, and he'll eat anything. So with a heavy heart and a slightly guilty conscience, the cake went in the bin. All of it. A few weeks later, I returned the plastic tub but was presented with another cake.
Oh, good.
I'm afraid that cake went in the bin as well. As has every cake I've been given by Fred and Wilma for the last 3 years. I visited Fred and Wilma again and they gave me yet another cake, which has also gone straight into the bin. Cake bin, cake bin, cake bin, cake, cake, bin, bin, bin. Victoria sponge, bin. Ginger and chocolate, bin. Elaborate showstopper with tinned gooseberries and midget gems in the bin.
Oh, midget gems.
Oh, wow.
They were good, weren't they, back
yeah,
in the day?
Yeah, yeah,
I'll
like
take
that.
The taste away. So obviously, says the Reverend Timothy, I seek, not his real name either, I seek forgiveness from Fred and Wilma as they put so much effort into those substandard cakes. And I could have at any point claimed to be on a diet or given another excuse as to why I couldn't possibly take home another cake. But Wilma looked so pleased that the vicar was taking her cake home that it was so very hard to say no. I also seek forgiveness from my family, who would always get excited when I came home with a cake, only to be bitterly disappointed when they discovered it was from Fred and Wilma. Yours hopefully, Reverend Timothy. You can sort your own forgiveness, can't you, if you're a reverend? But anyway,
yes.
Thank you, Reverend Timothy, for turning to Greatest Hits Radio for forgiveness where it matters. Sister Susie, what do you say to the Reverend Timothy?
Well, I like this, Reverend Timothy, and I think, you know, maybe just it was, you were too enthusiastic the first time that you ate the cake, that if you'd have just not done that, then maybe we wouldn't be here now. And I just feel like you could have... She needs some feedback because you might not be the only person that she's giving cake to.
Yeah.
So therefore, you know, take one for the team and be honest. And isn't that what a vicar should do? And tell her the truth. And or just say, you know, you're a celiac and
now.
You can't eat cake anymore.
I've,
you know,
I oh, that's right. Yeah, I've just been diagnosed as celiac. Although that would be a lie.
Well, it would be. Yeah. Okay. Well, I am not going to forgive Reverend Timothy just because of his family. I agree with them. If my family had brought cake home, I would be excited and I would be disappointed. So
I wonder
for that
if he
reason.
Couldn't he give it to a needy person?
Yes! Make them have the dreadful cake.
Well, yeah, they must have a cake
people.
Morning or something at the...
Let eat the bricks.
Well, that'd be better than throwing
a
it
away. A coffee morning at the church.
Yeah, maybe.
A playgroup. Oh, I bet the mums would eat it.
Yeah!
Brother Matthew.
So give it to them. Yes, I'm definitely going to forgive. Because, I mean, we've all been in that situation where you're given food that's not very good and you can't say, I find this Wilma to be bland and uninteresting. You say, oh, how lovely, this is very nice. And please give me another one every time I come here for the next 3 years. Yes, they're definitely going to forgive. I mean, law of averages says she's going to get it right at some point.
Do you think?
At some point, that cake with the midget gems and everything else in it, something's going to happen. And in the words of Fleetwood Mac, don't stop. Wilma with making all those fabulous cakes.
Imagine the thump as the cake hits the bin one more time.
Something to confess. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
They weren't midget gems anyway, they were iced gems. Iced gems, very, very different.
Yeah, that didn't make sense at all. Why would you put midget gems in a cake?
Well, you just said midget gems.
No, because you said midget gems.
No, I said iced gems.
I don't think I'd have made that mistake.
Another mistake.
What is going on?
Three or four in one podcast.
Looking forward to listening to that again, I think.
Yeah. Midget gems.
Well, Yes,
and I'm glad that I was right.
Anyway, Timothy's confession promoted Susan in Cornwall to get in touch to say the vicar should have asked for the cake recipe and then give his parishioners a new recipe and helping hand. Had they tried his mum's recipe to see if that helps to improve the cake?
Yeah.
Would that have helped?
Well, it depends whether it's the recipe that she's making all the time.
Oh, I see. So she's got the wrong recipe.
Yeah, and if she gives her a different one, then maybe that one would be better.
No midget gems in it.
Gems and a dead goose.
And
not the neighbours.
Market leaves. Ice gems.
The market and leaves turned goose. Out to be his parents.
Anyway,
still to come on the Confessions podcast, newly retired Professor Perilous is finally ready to tell a few tales from his teaching days, of which there are many. It's a Certificate 15 and not for the squeamish. But first, it's Dave's confession, the horse with no name.
Shh, shh, shh. We won't tell anyone.
What's your secret? Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Today's confession comes from Dave in Grimsby. Thank you, Dave. Father Simon and the Compassionate Collective Canon wish to seek forgiveness for an event that... Actually, this is sort of in your wheelhouse, Matt, from back in the day.
Wow. Back in the day, really? Wow.
Wish to seek forgiveness for an event that happened about 10 years ago when I was still living at home with my parents in South Manchester. Before her commitments of children and dogs, my sister looked after a horse on a local livery yard.
There you go.
And while she was at work, my mum and dad would help with all of the, shall we say, more tedious tasks of looking after the horse, of which there are many. One such task was running up to the local farm and equestrian shop to pick up supplies such as hay, carrots, and any treatments that the horse might need. And this, Father Simon, is where I need to seek forgiveness. You see, my dad would often have to write out the list of what he needed on a small scrap of paper just to make sure he didn't miss anything with a specific name or get the wrong brand, because it's very, very important to get the right brand.
Yes, yes, yes.
On one such occasion, he left the scrap of paper on the counter in the kitchen, and I thought it might be funny to add an extra fictional item to see whether my dad would actually ask for it in the shop or whether he would, as I believed that he would, see through the ruse. Mm. I remember hearing about how some well-known footballers who owned racehorses were allowed to give them funny names.
Oh, yes.
Some of which aren't fit for broadcast, but other amusing ones included Another Horse.
Yes, that's Robbie Fowler's. Yeah.
A horse called Another Horse.
Another Horse, yes.
Come on, Another Horse!
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Okay. And the name I'd now written down on the scrap of paper, passing it off as a product my dad might need to buy for my sister. So this is actually the name of a horse, but I was writing it down as a product, says Dave in Grimsby.
Okay. Mm.
Well, Father Simon, my dad duly took the list and went off to the farm shop, and it was only when he got back and explained to my sister about what had gone on that things became clear for him. As it turned out, he'd gone into the shop and managed to find everything except for this new product, this one thing that I'd added that he'd been asked to buy. So he went to the counter and asked the man to help him find Hoof Hearted. Apparently, he'd repeatedly asked, "Hoof Hearted?" But seemingly all it did was make the man laugh all the more. Although the man in the shop probably thought it was a wind-up rather than someone taking it quite seriously. Would that be allowed as the name of a horse?
I think you can get away with
Come on, Hoof Hearted.
Hoof Hearted, yes.
He apparently spoke
to childish.
He apparently spoke to my sister later on to explain that he hadn't been able to get everything on the list, but he was sure he could find hoof-hearted somewhere else. So that's what he tried to do. But it was only when my sister explained that it wasn't actually a real product and to break up the two words differently did he realise what he'd been asking for in the shop. Suffice to say, my dad figured it must have been me and thankfully was able to see the funny side of it. I therefore need to seek forgiveness from my dad, who still gets regularly reminded of the time he asked hoof-hearted very loudly in the farm shop and seemingly takes it with good grace, even though it must irritate him greatly every time the story is mentioned. If it's any consolation, we all moved out of the era a couple of years later, never having to visit that farm shop again, and live quite spread out from each other, so the chance for japes are very limited, although I do worry about being on the receiving end at some point from my eldest son, who's developing a cheeky sense of humour, even at the age of 3. I fall upon your mercy and I seek your wisdom and guidance. Dave in Grimsby. Well, I have heard about the, let's see if we can get away with calling our horse this.
Yeah.
But Dave's turned it into a gag and played it on his dad and it seemed to work. Sister Susie.
Well, yeah. Very funny, Dave. Just a bit silly and childish, isn't it?
It's a grown man.
Yeah, well, he is now. Grown man.
It's funny.
Do you know what? I just think it is funny, but it's all like that wasted time, didn't it? It wasted the time of his dad. It wasted the time of the people in the shop.
You're very hardcore.
Just wasted people's time. And also, maybe he deserves what, you know, his son is going to do it to him.
Yes.
And then he won't be as grateful for it, will he? So I'm not going to forgive, no. It's very silly.
Okay, I thought you might have forgiven, but no, you're still hardcore. Brother Matthew.
I mean, I'm going to forgive. Forgive because, I mean, obviously everyone in the shop loved it. And,
did they?
And Dave took the opportunity, didn't he? I mean, you know, he was having a bit of fun. And the hoof thing works, doesn't it? Because typically horses have hooves. 4 of them normally. That's my great knowledge of horses there. coming to the fore.
Is that what it ends?
A year well spent. Hello to all my friends in Horseland. And so for all of those reasons given previously, I choose to forget.
Confess All. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
Today's confession comes from Professor Perilous. This is how he signed off. And I should say it's a 15 certificate.
Oh, good.
It does contain unpleasant scenes.
Oh, I'll bet.
Also scenes of unpleasantness. Dear sacred shepherds of our souls, I have recently retired from teaching. Always a dangerous start.
Yeah.
And I started to think back over some of the events of my work life. Please therefore bear in mind it was different times. I know that you've had a number of school confessions, notably the exploding frogs, and yes, dangerous substance number 1 was very fun. But not as much fun as the reaction, which I'm going to be calling reaction number 2. Coding it because I don't want to give any details. But it's done in a baked bean tin. But it's not a good idea, as I discovered it melts through the bottom of the tin, scorching the desktop and damaging clothes and setting fire to books.
What?
As the molten metal shoots out. Methane rockets and making smoke bombs were also quite interesting. One of my favourites was dropping copper coins into fluid number 3 to show the difference between pre and post 1992 coins and why some copper coins are magnetic. This was all done outside in a sheltered corner so the fumes could escape more easily. I changed schools a lot.
Imagine.
With the longest stay in a school 5 years and the shortest 1 year. 1 year in a post was sometimes enough. I was fortunate to have worked across the country in a range of places, including sixth forms, secondary schools, middle schools, primary schools, young offender institutes, and pupil referral units. I know some people specialise, but I like to go with the flow. This particular confession relates to my first term in a new school. I was teaching science, DT, English, ICT, and games. PE teachers really hate that phrase. The start, that's a wide curricula, I think, which
it
he
is.
Has to
yeah,
teach.
Yeah, pretty yeah.
The start of this confession started in the science lab with a class of year 7 pupils. We were reacting HCl, which is hydrochloric acid, with magnesium to evolve hydrogen. This involves using a glass delivery tube that passes through a bung. Now, I'm sure most listeners will have done this very common and simple experiment. Clearly, they will all have been told not to turn the glass tube as it can snap, leaving a sharp circle of glass. Unfortunately, one girl, let's call her Alice, decided to move it. I discovered this when she came up to me, having impaled her palm on the glass tube. When I say impaled, it hadn't gone all the way through. It was just into the palm. Oh, fortunately, blood and other people's pain I can cope with. So having checked the chemicals were not spilt, I sent her off to the office with a friend. There wasn't too much blood, but I thought sending her off alone would be unprofessional. The good news is that it didn't need any stitches, so everything was fine.
Oh, it's fine. Okay.
Later part two. Later that term, I was teaching the same class, DT. Now we had a wonderful workshop with a band saw, teacher use only, pillar drill, scroll saw, disc sander, if you're getting nervous, wow, you should be, and an array of hand tools, all for the children to use. Any child could use them, I had to give a demonstration and then note down the date and who was there to ensure they had all heard it. The disc sander was a wonderful piece of machinery that could easily strip wood or anything that touched it. I went through the safety talk, showed how to hold wood and how not to hold wood, explained the dangers and why we do it certain ways. I then let the children start. They didn't need to ask to use the tools as they were all trained. Or so I thought. I was just helping a child when I felt a shadow lurk at my shoulder. I usually ignored this and carried on, but the little sharp intakes of breath attracted my subconscious. I turned around and saw Alice, holding her hand with one finger sticking out. Interestingly, the end was dripping with blood. I surmised quickly what had happened. She had sanded off the very tip of her finger. In my defence, she had not been following instructions, which I saw later when I looked at what she'd been sanding. Now, once again, I packed her off to the school office with a friend, again, ever the professional. Now, this was an interesting term for me, as I also managed to have a gas leak in the lab that was smelt on the other side of the school. I set off the fire alarm three times and was blamed for the fourth until it was traced to the kitchen. I was also made the union health and safety rep. Always doing my part. Now asking for forgiveness. I don't ask for forgiveness from the head teacher or head of department, as there were never any complaints. I don't ask forgiveness from the classes that may have been a bit disrupted, as I always quickly disposed of the injured child. But not in that way. No. I don't even ask for forgiveness from Alice, as her hand was fine. My favourite sentence. I know this, as in the summer term, I taught her javelin.
What?
And she had no issues at all holding it.
No!
However, I do ask forgiveness from Alice's mother. Not for the damaging stuff earlier, but when I went for a job interview at a school at which her mother was the secretary. She was professional all the time and this may have been hard for her. Surprisingly, I didn't get the job. So for putting this very kind mother of this polite and helpful child in a difficult situation, I ask for forgiveness and I hope you can find it in your hearts to do so. No children were harmed in the making of this confession.
Well.
Apart from Alice.
Apart from Alice. But it wasn't Professor Perilous's fault.
No.
Because you give instructions, you give all the safety talk, and then it's kind of up to the kids. But I know which way Sister Susie is going to go.
Well, no, because I say a class of children and DT is always a bad combination, in my opinion. Talking from experience, I once glue gunned my finger at a DT class, which also didn't go well. So I feel like I'm on Alice's side here. Also, he was probably doing a bit too much, wasn't he? Jack of all trades, master of none, maybe you would say about the good old professor there. But if you knew she wasn't very good, maybe you should have kept a bit of a closer eye on her. And for that reason, I can't forgive you.
Games, ICT, English, DT and teaching science asking for trouble, Brother Matthew.
Yeah, I would say if you're attending chemistry lessons or lessons involving power tools, maybe pay attention to the instructions at the start, you know.
Children.
That's what they're all there supposed to be doing, and they're not doing it. And so really it's all Alice's fault in a way. And I have to think about all of these interviews he went for, where they're all why did you only spend a year at this school? Well, there was a gas leak. Also, somebody lost the top of their finger, and there was the other thing.
But it wasn't
with
my
the explosion.
Fault.
Definitely not my fault, by the way. But for all of those reasons I'm gonna forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
I don't get any of those reasons, really.
No. Yeah, they make perfect sense. You just need to listen to them again, I think.
I've just listened to them again.
And having just listened to them again, they made perfect sense to me.
Anyway, Jane on The People's Verdict did have an interesting take on this.
And Jane in Burnham says, forgiven, this is a tough one. My son did the same. Sanded the top off his finger when he was 13. He was in agony for days. It wasn't nice. But was it character building? Mm. Did he learn to be careful around tools? Mm. Possibly. Kids are a bit stupid and careless. It's part of being a kid. So, on balance, I'm going to forgive.
Very good. Thank you for all the verdicts that get sent in through the week. And it wraps up another podcast full of hilarious confessions. If you've been inspired by any of them, do send in your own, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Now it's over to Brother Matt for this week's incredible secret code phrase.
And the secret code phrase this week is, the geese were her parents. The geese were her parents.
Sounds like a spoiler.
It does, yeah.
If you've listened this far, you can thread me at Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads or post it to me on Blue Sky. Remember to share the podcast with a friend and leave us a 5-star review so that Matt can shout at you next week.
Correct.
We'll be back next week with a bunch of interesting tales. Until then, from the pub, aka actually in the studio, Sister Susie says,
cheerio.
From Cupboard du Tat, Sister Holly says,
in a while, crocodile.
From the gutter, Brother Matthew,
goodbye.
Thank you for listening. See you very soon.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.